Hola, saludos. El día de hoy les traigo un episodio especial. Vamos a estar platicando con Pulse Lorian. La plática va a ser en inglés. Él habla muy poquito español, habla más portugués. Entonces, pues bueno, ahí va a ser un poquito complicado si tratamos de llevar la conversación en español. Mi hermano se nos va a unir también. Y pues bueno, vamos a platicar de qué se trata Pulse Lorian. Nos va a contar un poquito su historia. Qué lo llevó a crear todo lo que se ha creado, sus motivaciones, y luego nos va a explicar más sobre Reflux, que es la moneda de la que hablé en mis últimos dos videos, y de la última que acaba de lanzar, que es idéntica a Reflux, se llama DAI X, nada más que esta, en lugar de pagar en Pulse, paga en DAI de Ethereum. Entonces, bueno, sin más, ahorita damos la bienvenida.
Hey, Andrik.
Saludos, hello.
Hello, hello. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Hello.
Muy bien. Okay, so, well, first of all, welcome. I really appreciate that you took the time to talk to us. I have a few questions. Obviously, we're going to be like having the conversation. But before we start anything, tell us who you are, where you come from, how did you get into crypto, and what took you to start developing on Pulse Chain.
Yep, for sure. I'm not American, right? So I'm from South America. So I think I've experienced all the trials and tribulations of, being like not having a hard time getting a loan, having a hard time opening a bank account, inflation in the country where I'm from. So, seeing my currency getting devalued, or over like five times within like a span of like a year or two. And then I have a background in mostly finance and tech, right? So about like 15 years of experience. And then our main contract developer, Ra, the genius behind our contracts, he has about over 30 years of software development experience, leading teams across the globe. So really brilliant guy. But speaking about myself, so I always had that interest in tech finance. In 2013, I stumbled into Bitcoin, just because I like reading about investing and that stuff. Bought a little bit on the hype, had no idea what I was doing. Lost private keys, forgot about it, but it was just, I think Ra himself mining some Bitcoin in 2012, like experimenting with it. And I think he did the same. He said, I'm mining some, but might not be worth anything. It seems fun now. And so yeah, I forgot about it for like 4 years. And then in 2017, stumbled into an article about Ethereum, early 2017, and then went deeper into the rabbit hole, because then I saw all of its potential, saw Bitcoin's price, it was higher than before, and I saw, oh, okay, there's something to it. And then yeah, and then just spent like a good like 2 years on like just investment like mode, just searching for projects, trying to got into the idea.
Investing in everything in crypto or investing in general?
Crypto. Once I saw what crypto was in 2017, I like forget the stock market.
I mean,
Like, goodbye. I'm just gonna focus on crypto 100% because this is where the alpha is at, in my opinion, right? Can really make some gains, and it helped that I got like one of like that start of Ethereum's bull run that really I saw like within a month like my portfolio go up like three, four times. So. And then so yeah, I got caught up in like that ICO craze, exploring like the DeFi space, DeFi summer and the layer twos. And then knowing Ron, knowing that he also had an interest in crypto, because we already talked about it throughout that time. He said, hey, why don't we develop ourselves our project, and because we believe we could add some value to crypto in general. And at the time, we were already focused on RH and Pulse Chain, Pulse Chain sacrificers held HEX. I wasn't day one HEX holder. unfortunately. I knew about Hex back then, but, you know, I got flooded out by listening to some different sources.
Same thing happened.
Yeah, I regret that. You know, I think, like, the guys that I listened to, like, back then was, like, a guy named Crypto Zero. I don't think he's on YouTube anymore. And then Ivano Tech, I think, like, even himself, he didn't. And then, so, obviously, once Pulse Chain started, it was like, okay, this is the opportunity. This is where the money is going to flow, in our opinion, right? Because it's our age. I've always followed the guy since I started into crypto, because he was just the most knowledgeable source. And then again, we follow, we hear, he tells, you know, take care of your private keys. Don't go into chasing like these.
Exactly.
But we ourselves, we don't take that advice sometimes, right? And then Pulse Chain was what made sense to us, just because, you know, better technology, you know, it's like Ethereum, it's faster, it's cheaper. And then it has that, like, true cypherpunk spirit, which is what drawn me to crypto in the first place. And what we as a community are about, you know, we stand for the people, for freedom of this fiat system, you know, which is basically enslaving everybody, right? They debase our currency. We lose our purchasing power year by year. The monthly print never trickles down into our wallets. And then And then blockchain is the only thing, crypto, Pulse Chain is the only thing that's happening in the world right now, which actually has the power to change that power imbalance and dynamic that's throughout the world, and, you know, bring truly, you know, a much more fair, you know, society, world, and more opportunity and more prosperity for everybody. So, I mean, RH is the man, my opinion.
Yeah.
And the Pulse Chain community behind it is what makes it, like, you know, that it will stand, you know, all the battles and the test of time. And you see that even though Hex is down, you know, 99% for a while,
we're still here,
even stronger. People, like, join forces even more. So that's
right.
We're 100% sure we're in the right place. Then that's no doubt.
Yeah. And now you mentioned that part about being from a Latin American country, the struggle, the financial struggle. That is exactly why we have the community ISPA Hex, and that is the main goal of it, is to bring this knowledge to all the Spanish-speaking countries, because pretty much all of Latin America, except for Brazil, we all speak Spanish, and we're all very vulnerable. Like the money there is, like, in any country you go to, like, it's just not good.
Argentina, Brazil itself, it's like, the devaluation is of the currency. It's absurd. It obliterates those lives, literally.
And unfortunately, because of the nature of our language and everything, we don't get this information, like everything that's being launched in the United States, because everything's in English. And a lot of people just don't speak English. So they don't get the opportunity to get all this information. And so that's pretty much the goal of ours, to just bring all this information to people so that they can make their own choices. Like, in the end, we never tell them what they should buy or what they shouldn't buy. We just tell them, look, this is what there is there. Now you can choose to get it or not. Like, that is up to you. Yeah, we just explain how to do it.
So true. And I say, even like the infrastructure, the technology in these more developing countries, you know, it's not like the ease of access, you know, like signing up to a Coinbase crypto.com account. You know, having like a plethora of like coins to choose from, and, you know, it's more reliable. It's not the same in South America. Definitely.
Also, our main goal is to try to educate people on how to use crypto right, because every day we still see, even though we don't get the information, but at least when we make some videos explaining how things work, every day, even in English, or people that supposed to be whales, so they have more knowledge, you see market sales where they dump the price when they could get their exit point without hurting the price, and they still don't know how to do it. So we saw it like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Somebody in market sold Hex and put it down 20%. Mm-hmm. When he could have come up with a lot more money if he wouldn't market sell the 20 million Hex he sold. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about that in the beginning, that try to make people or doing the right thing for actually in as you know, you're from Latin America. If probably a lot of people don't have 20 million Hex.
Yeah, that's a lot.
No, it's a lot of Hex. Yeah. But they have a large sum, and if they make those same mistakes that the big guys make, when the price will rise up, they will end up with a lot less money. So it's like a goal of ours to try to educate a lot of people on how to make it the best way possible for them to get out safely or come in the best way they can. And just looking at your page and all that, I'm seeing ways in which they can get a lot of more value back from what they have than if they use the traditional ways or mm-hmm. ways that we only talk about, because a lot of people, including ourselves, are RH maximalists, and we mm-hmm. try until we are convinced that it's not a rock pole and it follows like the directives, not your keys, not your coins, no admin keys, no middleman, and all of the finished product. We don't like to give like the okay. So somebody, because even though if we put the streamers in Spanish, we are like three or four of us. It's Rolando, Andrik, myself. He used to be Crypto Profeta, but he's turning like doing something.
She went rogue.
Different.
She went rogue
in
the community.
And there was Despide tu Jefe.
Español.
Jefe mm-hmm. Español y Despide tu Jefe.
Mm-hmm.
But of all of that, I guess
sometimes we get some girls that also do it, but it's very rare. One of them just became a mom, so yeah, she's focused on something else. Yeah. But yeah, our community in Spanish is very very small.
And the only people that actually talk about other products were a Crypto Profeta, Rolando, and but it is very difficult to like give the okay to a project, and especially in the Hispanic community, when most of the times they have fallen off, like you said, for scams. I've been myself victim of scams, and my guess is that you're from Brazil.
Yeah.
I guess like you're from Brazil, and not to say something bad about your country, but I receive mails from Brazil, from Petrobras to invest on bonds on Petrobras, and that I'm sure they were scams. And I'm sure maybe in other countries you receive mails from Mexico, from Pemex or something like that. It's that way. But a lot of people fall for that kind of stuff. And if we are not knowledgeable of everything that's happening and really focus on what's important and teach our Hispanic community what to look for, they're chasing the shiny thing, the new shiny thing. So this is why we try to be very careful of things that we actually shield, and try to have conversations so we can present it to the community. I'm actually surprised
that
we have. No, I'm actually surprised that we have 15 people joining all of a sudden.
Nice.
Because, a lot of people sometimes come back and see. We get the views, but after we're live, and this is a good opportunity so they can ask questions besides of whatever questions we have about your all the stuff you're going to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Now, my question, my first question here, because we were talking about on the green room about your first project, because I remember the name Pulse Lorien, when there was all this craziness about all the sacrifices and all these things that were happening. And then I remember seeing the name Pulse Lorian, and then honestly, I forgot about it. I forgot about it. I just remember, obviously it stood out because of the Mandalorian. the name stood out, but then I completely forgot about it until I heard about Reflux. And I was like, okay, let me just take a look at Reflux. And then I saw Pulse Lorian, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that name. Like, but obviously I missed out on everything. Yeah. So can you tell us, like, how did it all get started, and what have you learned throughout the process? Because I did see in one of your interviews that you talked about it has been a learning process. Like you do something, then you realize that some things work, some things don't work as well, and then you move on to the next one and you keep improving on that, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, blockchain is still in its infancy, right? Nobody truly, you know, people are experimenting, they're deploying projects, exchanges, layer ones, and they're experimenting because truly there's no set formula for, hey, this is how you do a successful token or a successful layer one or a successful exchange.
All we have is the criteria that Richard Hart has laid out.
Yeah.
Like, make sure there are no admin keys, make sure that it's immutable contract, make sure, like, all these different things, but the rest.
aside from, like, the basics of, like, security and community being there, but, like, technology-wise, there's no, like, people are still experimenting, adding different features. You know, like, when Richard copied PulseX, he said, oh, why not introduce this type of fee to buy back and burn? That was something new, something minor, but, like, a game changer, right?
Correct.
So we were one of the smallest sacrifices on Pulse Chain. When we saw it, okay, this is our opportunity. If we're going to launch something, it's going to be on this chain. It's like the sacrifice thing is really hyped up. We could gather some attention there. And we chose the Mandalorian type figure. We got an inspiration because one is something that, you know, we thought like something that a lot of people like, are into, especially the people who are crypto, they like that kind of
and
stuff.
And they'll remember.
They'll remember. It established like that identity, you know, that, you know, the Mandalorian figure is like the cypherpunk kind of thing. Like it has its real identity. You know, it's like battle tested, it's resilient, you know, it's like oriented towards the future. So we that's why we chose that identity. Again, we weren't the smallest sacrifices on Pulse Chain. The idea was just to start with one token, you know, which was kind of a reflection type of token. And but we are devs, we're creators, you know, we don't want to just deploy one contract and then just stop there, right? Otherwise, where's the fun? And obviously, blockchain is something new. It's something you're constantly learning. So as we deployed, we learned lessons. And I think at the beginning, you know, we were just trying to survive because Pulse Chain had all those delays. We had to launch on Ethereum. And Ethereum, to be honest, no small project can launch on Ethereum anymore because the fees are unsustainable. Yeah. And that pretty much killed us. You know, Pulse Chain was our lifeboat and it literally like saved us. Yeah. Like RH saved Hex, you know, he's saving like an entire community of people with like a Pulse Chain because paying like $100, even that before the start of the bull run, when like the market picks up a little bit for a single swap. I mean, who can do that? You know, very, very few people can. And then so we started there, and then it's like it was a trial with like all the, you know, the delays, the ETH fees, and then, you know, Richard Hart being sued by the SEC. So all this time we were just trying to, you know, let's make sure we survive this, let's make sure we keep our community loyal. And so glad that, you know, there's people that we saw, they stuck with us like from the beginning till now, like Armor. And then just as an example, but other people too, truly. What was I gonna say? But we kept developing, you know, like the meme thing happened, like we introduced another type of token that was like single site staking because we wanted to do like a similar thing to Hex, you know, because we wanted to make like an attractive yield where people could just stake, and then they were forced to lock it, not as much as Hex, but they would lock it for year, and there was there's a certain type of penalty that's with our tokens for Reflux, and they all have the meme feel because you know everything in crypto now is a meme. And then realized, okay, single site staking is not enough. There's need to be an incentive for liquidity. Then we did like PLP staking, and then then we noticed, okay, but like people truly want Pulse, and then hence we started Reflux. But then we came up with the idea, okay, but just reflecting Pulse is not enough. We need to have some sort of incentive to liquidity providers.
We need to give it a stability.
Yeah, so it was a learning process, you know, in terms of price. Sorry about my dogs if they're barking. They'll
probably. No, that's all right.
And then it was a learning process, obviously. But all of our products that we developed, you know, they're working fine. They're store of value. As I see it, like they give like superior yield.
Yep.
If you test any of our contracts, you'll see that the type of yield that you get, it's superior to the contracts that are out there. At least the one I've seen, you know, like LBSKR, it's like over like 70% yield, you know, and you get
the
penalties. It already burned 0.6% of the supply. BSKR already burned 0.4% of 3.4% of the supply. It has burn. We did a token in homage to Sami. You know, he's an influencer that we like. So we just trying to deliver, you know, safe, solid products instead of just like, you know, 99% of what you see out there, even by big communities, like big projects with solid liquidity. They're just bare bones copy and paste code of like GoPulse or like an Open Zeppelin contract. And I think if that's all you have to offer, you know, it's like, okay, community is important. But you know, you have to offer some more substance when it comes to game theory, contract, and you know, truly bring something that's innovative to the space. And that's what I believe we did with Reflux and DAIX now. And we've branched more even. Like, I don't want to get too deep, but yeah, we also introduced yield farming because we wanted to, you know, decentralize our liquidity and stimulate that liquidity through different pairs. We're adding governance to our platform. So, and we'll keep developing, you know, like, and we're like always taking the input from the community. So,
yeah, one of the things that I really liked, because I started to dive into the Pulse-Lorian ecosystem, if we can call it that. And I started looking into, for example, the farms that you have in here. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked about it was that you're not creating your own DEX. You're not creating your own liquidity pools in the sense of like creating like another PulseX ripoff. You know what I mean? It's like people rely on PulseX. And then just by using that and getting the PLP, then instead of staking it there, which on many of these they won't have the opportunity to do it, but for example on this one here, which it has gone down, last time I checked it was like 79% or something like that, but the fact that it pays way more than paying in PulseX, I really like that, because the fact that you're still relying on PulseX, which is what people trust, but at the same time, you can just come here and stake your PLP and get more yield than what you would get in PulseX. Like, that's something that a lot of people don't know about it, and they should.
Yep, most definitely. So I think one of the things is, like, we focused on, we're definitely not going to try to, you know, compete. With, like, set up an exchange and compete with PulseX. I mean, like,
first,
we won't succeed, basically, you know, and it,
yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and we wanna uphold, you know, and uplift, you know, our H products and you know, products that are being developed by the Pulse Chain community that we trust, like Internet Money, which is in our farms, like HOA, and other projects that we've been touched and talking about adding it to our farms, and but we wanted to. This one on what we thought could be like a competitive advantage and what we could truly offer of like value, like superior value proposition. And in our case, what we believe is like the passive income, the type of yield the type of transparency yes. that people can have when they're dealing with our community, and then the store of value aspect. So, and like the meme aspect that all imbued into one, you know. So we want to strive for, you know, giving people like a true cypherpunk type of community that focus on decentralization, you know, like ending the fiat system, having no admin key where anybody can set up a front end, you know, where the contracts are publicly disclosed, where anybody can look into the code, where the liquidity is burned, the ownership is renounced. And then we actually, in the game theory, in the technology itself of the contracts, then we offer that superior value proposition when it comes to, you know, like this contract is going to become really scarce. It's going to provide a lot more yield. It's going to earn yeah. you yield in the type of currency you want to earn. So that's what we focused on.
And
and now
one question. When let's see, for a lot of people or for the guys that will hear from us or view the video later, how would you explain to them mm-hmm. how is it that if you farm it on your platform mm-hmm. gives you more yield than if you farm it on PulseX? How is that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they see it's like, oh, that looks like very nice, but I'll stay away because maybe they will rock my liquidity or
maybe it's a scam, maybe exactly. Yeah, whatever.
There's one point. There's so many barriers to entry, right, to crypto. Even from like the aspect of like you setting up your own wallet, you having your hardware wallet, to getting into a knobby chain that's you have to bridge in your funds, right? And then into going into like start with the liquidity providing, and then once you do that, then you like
it's a whole world that they need to learn about.
It truly is like an endeavor in terms of like learning that it's not like you won't get there right away, and that's why we're setting up our community, because we want to help whoever's getting onboarded, you know, from the very beginning, you know, to whatever you might need, even up to like contract development, you know. So it's like even like when you're setting up a hardware wallet, you know, when you're like having a problem, you know, adding, removing liquidity, that type of stuff. But essentially, when you provide liquidity in Pulse chain, right, in V1, and by the way, for the people who don't know, right, V1 had like a minor bug, and they had where the liquidity providers, they weren't earning their trading fees. They were just earning their incentive token. But basically what RAH is doing, he wants to make sure that his exchange has a solid liquidity, right? That people can throw some PLS into a pool, take some PLS out of the pool. So the stronger the liquidity is, means, you know, the price is more stable, means you pay less slippage. Yeah. So he wants to incentivize people to stake, you know, and add liquidity. And for that, he rewards people in an incentive token, right? And they just gain a new token that may or may not have value that will be dictated by the market wanting to trade that token. And he obviously further incentivizes that liquidity pool for that incentive token so that people are also adding liquidity there. So it actually has tradable value. So we're doing the same as the incentive token. Our contracts is actually based on the PulseX farms, right? With some minor changes, right? So we're actually doing the same, but instead of granting out the incentive token that's granted out on PulseX, it's a extremely similar contract where you can get your LP and stake to get an incentive token. But in our case, we're providing the Elixir incentive token, which is also the governance token for the Pulse Lorem platform. The token itself, the governance aspect to it, it's already deployed, but we're still developing like the UI, which will be ready soon. So it's really not different at all from PulseX. The contracts itself, they're public. If you look into the contracts, you'll see like it does kind of the exact same thing. And
Now the question here is
The question is because if you go to PulseX, but before that, if you go to the farms and PulseX, you see the PulseX WPLS that the LP is paying 5.84%.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go to
Paul Florian, this one is paying 39.
39%.
That's a good point.
That's the question. If somebody comes in and sees, and how come the same LP and you use actually PulseX, but you only use the farms, but they are connected to PulseX, how come I can earn 39% if we're using the same platform? That's the question.
Yeah, so that reward, that APR, it's dependent on a variety of factors, right? How there's usually a set emission rate of these incentive tokens, be it on PulseX, be it on PulseLorian website. So it will mint one incentive token per second, or 0.1 in our case, Elixir per second, to be distributed between all these pools. And obviously, all of these pools, they have a different allocation, right? This pool will receive 20% of the Elixir that's minted. This pool will receive 5%, so forth. So APR is one. It's dependent on this emission rate. It's dependent on
the percentage that pool is receiving, that farm is receiving.
Yeah, the allocation between the pools, and also is related to how much money is in that pool, right? So if you're distributing, let's say, $100 in rewards in that minted incentive token to like the PulseX Pulse pool, but there's, $10,000 there, you're getting 1%. But that's if there's $5,000 there, you're getting 2%, right? So since our project is smaller, there's less money in our pools. Obviously, we are able to pay a higher yield. Obviously, as more money comes in, assuming the price is constant, those APY may drop, right? But it's all a function of the price of the token itself as well. If Elixir token goes up in price, now the APR goes up. So there's a variety of factors that take place.
That determine. Yeah. Okay.
I think one advantage of our pools in that case that you brought up is, as you mentioned, like PulseX, it pays you, it's the same token, right? Pulse and PulseX. It's paying you around 6%, 7% on the PulseX farm itself. And that's V1. You don't earn the trading fees. You just earn the incentive tokens. In our case, you stake the
V1. Because you'll be on V1, correct? Yeah.
In our case, we that's something. Since we got to do it a little bit after they had that issue, we said, okay, you get to stake the V2 pair, which you earn the trading fees, plus you earn the Elixir. And since our farms are smaller, you can earn even higher APR. And in terms of risk, it's practically the same. The only thing is that our farms, we take a small fee there, but it should be recoverable fast due to the higher APR.
So that makes sense. Because on V2 you only receive part of whatever the transactions are happening, but you don't receive any incentive token. So by coming here and putting it in here, then you're pretty much getting the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
That's pretty much what's happening.
Yeah, and the opportunity will last, as more people know about it, like the market will dictate like that APR, truly. We've seen, like, ever since we launched the farms, and this is the lowest it's been so far, 39% in comparison to 6-7%.
Which means that more people are getting in there.
Yeah, more people, but that APR was, the 100+. And you see, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see farms that are still paying a lot, like WPLS.
WPS died 119%.
Yeah, and WPLS, Ethereum, which are also safe options, paying over 100%. So
this the Reflex one. This one's a good one that we'll invite people to join into that one later on.
So and it's a great way to, once you provide liquidity, you're actually strengthening that project, right? You're adding to the price stability, and it's actually the right way to invest in crypto, right? In my opinion, my humble opinion, because one, you're mitigating your risk, right? By being in the market, and the way to do that, you want to earn some type of fees, right? And that's why you're being a liquidity provider. You're not earning just the trading fees from people that are trading, but you're also earning an incentive token for allocating that liquidity into different projects.
Yeah, now you mentioned something about renouncing ownership. I think that's a very important thing to explain a little bit, because we are used to Richard Hart saying about the OA, you know what I mean? And he talks about, he may slap you for doing that, because he usually says centralization is not bad, it's actually good, when you're talking about centralization of the monetary power, not centralization over the decisions and all those things. But you guys are renouncing all of it. So there is no OA, there is no no owner that holds most of the coin or something like that, right?
Yeah, correct. In our tokens contracts, they're all ownership renounced. To be more specific, there are a couple of functions, mm-hmm. but nothing that would that can do changes to the protocol, but those can be changed only by the Elixir governance, you know, by people actually voting on chain. But none of these functions are functions that, you know, would like stop people from trading, that type of thing, which is what would cause rug pull. It's this minor stuff, you know, it's like changing for example, DAI-X case, that you can change the swap factor and how frequently you distribute the rewards, type of thing. In the case for our farms, it's
people allocation
token, they can vote on the allocation of the rewards, but nothing in the sense where like you stake, you cannot unstake, right? Or, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
What people are really afraid about, or like pulling away the liquidity, you know, type of thing. So
exactly.
I wanted to mention that like our contracts are renounced. We always publish the transaction link and you can verify it on chain, obviously, because mm-hmm. we believe in true decentralization, right? We believe that if something has to work, you know, it will come to a point that, you know, like people might not be there and that thing has to function, you know, for years and years, because this is like truly a revolution in the way we exchange value throughout the world, and these currencies will be there for like 20 30 40 50 100 years, you know. So so it needs to be something that's, you know, decentralized, you know?
yeah okay, that makes sense. Now next question, because it relates to what we were talking before. Most of our community are Richard Hart Maxis.
Yeah.
Right? We're all about Hex, Pulse Chain, Pulse X, Inc., and anything that Richard Hart says, that's what we take like gospel. Mm-hmm. And anything else is like, we're very distrustful of many of these other coins. And this is one of the things that I said in one of the, in our Telegram group, that I said, when you're approaching them with a new coin, people are like whip dogs. Like they're just very scared because they've already been scammed. They've already been rug pulled. They've already like, even we have. Yeah. So how do you go about this?
That's the hardest part. I think it's once you gain like people's like trust and loyalty, then they feel comfortable and like really, you know, deploying some money, and then also like remaining committed to that investment, right? Buying it like over time. That is something that just comes through like time in the market, you know, like seeing that you're there trying to add value, not trying to scam everybody, because, you know, and that's what happened with Richard, right? Like Richard was being called a scammer for so many times. Nobody believed him in the start, you know, even though he was like the most knowledgeable guy. And then only after like the 3 years flawless operation, you know, 10,000x contract is working flawlessly, like, okay, respect, like
some people distrust him because of the existence of the OA, which is something that you guys just threw out of the window, pretty much.
True. And it's the same with like Bitcoin. There's still people who distrust Bitcoin. So there's also some level of like, you know, trust and risk taking, but obviously you have to do your due diligence. And like the longer the team is out in the market, you know, trying to give out value and not scamming everybody, then people start gaining trust in that team. And also you actually have to provide something that's like superior value, right? Otherwise, why?
Yeah.
Why will I invest in Reflux when I have Hex, you know, that pays me 30% yield,
right?
And it's working flawlessly that I know. And then that's why we came in with Reflux. Okay, we have to offer, not saying that it's better than Hex, but it's an alternative and it's different, and that it can actually offer some value in terms of like the tokens that are out in the market.
Yeah, one of the reasons of why I actually even made videos about Reflux and stuff is because people want Pulse. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what people want right now. Because many in the community, they already have Hex. But they didn't get into the sacrifice. Maybe they missed out on the sacrifice. Maybe, I don't know, whatever happened. And so they didn't get as many Pulse as they wanted. And so what I'm telling them here is like, look, I'm not telling you to pull all your bag and put it into Reflux, because it's still a risk. Everything is a risk in crypto. But give it a go, and maybe you just won't run out of gas. Like, start there.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. You know, recommendation is, you know, set it up from a new wallet, you know, that's not connected to any of your accounts. You know, throw something that's money that you can afford to lose, you know, and always not financial advice, do your own due diligence. But you can see, once you, like in our case, what we see, as you said, like everybody wants Pulse, because, you know, everybody knows that Pulse X, that'll be like an easy, like 10X, you know, right off the bat.
Yeah.
People are shooting for more, 30, 50, 100x. So it's like, why am I taking so much risk in all of these new coins when I can just buy Pulse, right? And Pulse is what everybody wants. It's the thing that will always be there. It runs the blockchain. So the only ways to really get Pulse is being an old validator. There's extreme like learning curve there, extreme like investment, upfront investment in terms of hardware cost, 32 million Pulse at least. The other way is like being a liquidity provider. There's also some initial like a learning curve as well. And there's the risk with like impermanent loss and everything else. So in our case, so we offer a token that pays passive income in Pulse. And the type of yield that we're seeing is yield that's superior to validator nodes. And the way you can invest it is just buy the token and you'll start earning effortlessly Pulse in your wallet. And that's done through a reflection type of process, right? It takes a tiny fee when you buy or sell, and then that fee gets redistributed to holders. And or you can provide liquidity, which is an even safer way to be on the protocol, because you're pairing it with Pulse. So if the price goes up, you'll just end up with more Pulse. So it's truly a really, really easy way to earn Pulse. You don't have to do anything, literally. The APY is higher than a node validator. And it's a form of always have gas fees, you know, to trade on the market, because you always run into that situation where like, oh, I'm trying to place a trade, I have no gas, I have to send it from another wallet. Just leave some Reflux RFX in your wallet and it will be accruing some PLS. And I'll end now because I think I'm talking too much. But the type of returns you can check, like obviously we have on the webpage, there's an address checker. You can see how much.
Yeah, you can just go here. You go to products, Reflux.
Yeah, there's a.
Yeah, and here people can just put the wallet address as long as they have Reflux there.
Yeah. And you can see that people,
and here it will show you.
Yeah, you can check for any wallet that holds Reflux on the blockchain, how much they're earning. And you see wallets that earn in the millions, and they practically, obviously, because these fees, these Pulse, they are dependent on the volume, right? Is whenever somebody buys or sell that we redistribute this Pulse. Mm-hmm. So the higher the volume, like the higher the rewards. Right. And obviously, in the first few days, the people who got in early, there was really high volume because everybody's trying to chase that pump, trying to make a profit. They earned in the millions. And we, within 1 month of project, we were able to distribute 460 million Pulse already, which is quite an achievement.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, in just a month.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I had another question that I just forgot.
About that. Where? Asking for like the people that are probably gonna ask me this, or I'm gonna ask it on the next video. Where does that pulse come from?
So yeah, I'm rushing like a little bit on the explanation. So feel free to slow me down. I need to rush a little bit, and I think for like people who are not as experienced in crypto, sometimes you know all of that we're saying about liquidity pools, you know, like this passive income can go like over people's head. So
I hope some people actually watch my videos on my YouTube channel, because there I explain everything. So that when they come to here to have this conversation, at least they have an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I hope so. Okay, if you haven't watched in Spanish, go back to my other videos.
So it's very simple, really. Whenever you buy the token, you pay a 2% fee. Pay it forward fee, right? We don't want to say the term reflection, because I know some people don't like that term, because there involves a fee.
Some people will see it as a tax. Let's call it like a tax thing that you have to pay for every time you transact.
Yeah, but it really is such a small fee, like 2%. You easily recover that. So when people buy or sell, they're paying 2% fee, and that fee, obviously, that the fee, the reflux, gets swapped for PLS, right? And that PLS gets redistributed to all holders of the token and the liquidity providers themselves as well. And then from that fee, actually 0.25% of that fee is burnt forever. It's sent to an address that nobody can access on the blockchain, meaning the supply is always diminishing over time. So you're holding an asset that will preserve your purchasing power. It's always becoming more scarce over time. And then you're earning that yield, that whenever somebody places a trade in the market, that fee that people are paying, it gets distributed to all holders, you know? And then obviously the more trading activity, the more these fees get distributed, the more the network, the user base grows, the more fees are able to be generated. And then so there's another point to it, like the way that those fees get distributed. One, it's done in a round robin fashion. It goes like one by one, 20 holders at a time. Like whenever somebody sells, it only triggers that distribution when somebody sells. And it's actually done minimally, because we don't want to negatively impact the price, right? So when you swap Reflux for PLS, you're actually selling a little bit of Reflux. So we do it minimally, and we actually front run the seller, because we want to keep the holders. The sellers, you're basically getting out of the project, right? You're taking a profit. And we saw some people cash in, like who got in early, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in under a month, with you know, like couple hundred dollar investment, those that really got in early. So that was amazing to see. And it's what we want to see, right? People like actually cashing out, like decent profit. So this is all the genius behind our contract developer, which I said has like 30 years of programming experience. He did it in a way that like these, when distribute these rewards, it actually front runs the sellers to make sure it gets the optimal price. And it does it minimally to impact the price, so that people that are receiving those rewards, they are receiving it at the best potential too. So that's a little bit about the process. There's more to the contract. If you'd like to go and me to go into the accelerator aspect of the contract, or if you want to talk about
before we get into that, one of the main questions that I received about this, which kind of has already been explained with what you just said, but people want to hear it like a direct answer. What's the difference between Reflux and say SafeMoon or many other reflection tokens that have come out and then they crashed and like whatever, you know, like what's the main difference?
Yeah, I think like what people they don't like, and why I think people have like trust tokens have like sort of a stigma in the market. One, because like one major reflection token got hacked. Some of them got hacked, like, and then it just,
yeah.
So that's one, it causes a stigma. But and then two is because they're afraid, like, that taxation, that little fee that gets taken on the buy or sell, it cannibalizes the supply and the liquidity pool. And but in Reflux, that is not the case. So for long-term price stability and sustainability of the project, right? We want to incentivize mm-hmm. the liquidity to be as strong as possible. So we're actually redefining what a reflection token is, and we are redefining it in terms of like, hey, don't think of it as a reflection token. Think of it as a passive income token that you receive pulse. And another thing is that these reflection tokens, earlier reflection tokens like SafeMoon, they don't reflect pulse, they reflect themselves, you know. So you're just
you're just
holding more of the token itself, and there's a risk also that those who got in early, they end up acquiring a huge chunk of it that constantly grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just hurts the people that are coming afterwards. In our case, it truly is different. I you wanted to say something, Andrew?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I would say, one of the main criticisms of people that have 4Hex, mm-hmm. that they criticize the fact that many OGs got early in time, and they earn more Hex, right? And then they sell all the Hex and they dump on other people. So that's pretty much the same logic of the criticism with regular reflection tokens.
I think that's kind of like a benefit of being early too, you know. So not really blame people for that, but it's more like the cannibalization aspect of like taking the fee out of the liquidity pool, and then you know, it reflects itself, so you end up selling the token afterwards as well. But But Reflux is actually, it's an entirely different thing. People, like, please don't associate it with like reflection token. It's a passive income token where you earn pulse. Because the way we do this reflection, you're incentivized to provide liquidity. And we actually pay the fee twice for the liquidity providers. So when people provide liquidity, they're actually also placing their tokens up for sale in the market. So those whales that got in early, they want to earn more pulse, you know. That's why they will most likely provide liquidity. Obviously, you can do a combination of strategies, either hold or, you know, provide liquidity. There's none. It's a personal choice. So they're putting up the reflux and the pulse as liquidity. They're strengthening the price. They're making the liquidity more solid. They're actually decentralizing the liquidity. So in our case, we have over 100 liquidity providers already, whereas in comparison to other tokens in the market, even tokens that reflect pulse itself, they have like 6 liquidity providers. It's just like almost 20 times more. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that the liquidity is decentralized, where nobody can, even though our majority of our liquidity is already burnt, you also don't want to see like one big player take a huge chunk out of the liquidity. You want to make sure it's decentralized. So you earn more rewards, more posts for providing liquidity. When you're doing that, the whale is putting their reflux for sale, basically. And it helps new entrants get in and get a larger share of that reflux and decide whether they want to hold it or they want to provide liquidity as well. And it's just a positive cycle of like good investment practices. You know, you're providing liquidity, you're strengthening the price, you're locking in your share rate, so you don't want to sell, because otherwise you'll lose that that share rate. Because once you get in higher, you don't get as many shares, and that's what dictates how much of those pulse rewards you're gonna get. And then and then finally, it mitigates risk. You know, when you're adding liquidity, if it goes down, it goes down less, right? And then if it goes up, you earn more pulse. Obviously, there is some impermanent loss, but at the end of the day, you want pulse. So you're essentially averaging yourself out of the market, having more pulse in your hands. And you also earn the trading fees. You earn the 2x the rewards, and you're making the protocol stronger, the price stronger. So it's a ton of like game changing theory, and there's actually more to it, right? With the accelerator and
there's also an NFT coming, right? Said that it was also related to that, or is that going to be something completely different?
No, it's going to be related to Reflux, and it's also going to help the protocol.
Okay, all right. Let me see. Okay, yeah. Now, other people, like when they see the charts, they're like, "Oh, yeah, you can see how the price goes down, and then that meant that it was a rug pull or something like that." not necessarily a bad price performance means that it was a rug pull or that it was a scam. It's just that people are getting out. However, mm-hmm. we still see activity in those coins, which means that they're still generating. Is that correct?
Correct. And that's actually another interesting aspect of Reflux, right? Since we only distribute these rewards when users sell, mm-hmm. right? These reflections. So one, you have to be a holder to get it. Like, so you're incentivized to stay within mm-hmm. the price. So essentially, if people sell and they start dumping the price, right? What happens is people start receiving a lot more reflections, right? Because that's when people start getting all of that pulse passive income. And that's what really attracts people into the project and want to make sure they stay in. So once the price is coming down, people are like, oh, now I'm getting reflections. Now I want to buy more because one, the price is cheaper, and two, I'm earning more pulse. So I can get that pulse, compound my investment, buy more RFX, sustain the price. So that's also a really interesting aspect of the protocol. Which I like. I'm not sure I answered the question, but was it?
At least for me, I don't know if my brother has any further questions about it.
No.
I particularly love when people sell Reflux, because that's when I start receiving a lot more pulse, and then I can buy, I can start compounding my reflections and buy more pulse, more Reflux, more DIAX, and I can also take a little bit of pulse out of the market, do a liquidity pool, pulse X, and type of thing.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now we have here Salvador. He's asking, what would be the best strategy for Reflux? Well, it's hard to say what's the best strategy because it depends on each person's goals. But what I would call it the most conservative strategy, like the safest strategy, would be just buy Reflux and hold it. That's what I think. Unless you will say something different.
No. As I said, like you, I cannot provide any financial advice, right? I always make that disclaimer. And it's truly, there's, different personality styles when it comes to crypto investing. There's different strategies, time frames, risk tolerance, and appetite. So, I mean, the easiest way is to just buy Reflux. But if you want to check out what LP providing is like, you can LP provide, you can experiment, have two different wallets, one you hold Reflux, one you, and both will perform like better or worse depending on different market circumstances, right? So nobody really knows, right? And you can do a combination of both, right? So, but that would be for your own research and,
Yeah, well, I think that pretty much covers what I had. So would you like to explain what's coming? What's the accelerator? What's like the whole more technical aspect of it? How it works?
There's so much more to Reflux. And Andre, I don't want to take too much of your time, obviously. But like one of the things that
helps, it's fine.
Yeah, one of the things that helps Reflux as well that we set up, it's we're building an ecosystem, right? So everything that we're adding, it's because we believe it will add some sort of value to the protocol. So one thing with the Reflux is we also set up yield farming, which we explained earlier. So you can also not just earn like the pulse by providing liquidity with a PLS pair. You can also stake it in the farms to earn Elixir, right? So you can stake it with Pulse X, you can stake it with DAI, you can stake it with DAI X. And the reason why we do that is because one, it's decentralizing the liquidity throughout different pairs. And what that happens is like, in the market, there's bots, you know, that they look for different price discrepancies in the market. And if there's an arbitrage opportunity where they can buy some Reflux with some PLS in one pool, which is paired with a different coin, and sell it in another pool for more PLS, and there's a tiny profit there, bots will find that opportunity and they will execute a trade, right? And that's what we want, because the trade will generate volume, it will generate passive income, it will trigger a sell, it will trigger that distribution off the passive income. So so that's why we said, one, we have this yield farming, incentivizing people to decentralize this liquidity through different pairs, so we can have more arbitrage, more volume generation. And the other one is what you mentioned, is the accelerator, right? So what is the accelerator? It's actually another protocol built on top of RFX Reflux. And what it does is it was community funded initially. It already contains over 2.5% of the supply there, which is very reasonable, very big amount. It's more than we burnt already. Mm-hmm. And that supply will essentially be locked. It doesn't leave that contract, right? So it's considered burnt. So yeah,
so that would be here.
Yeah. There's 25 million coins, uh-huh. and what happens there? It essentially acts as a benevolent actor within the protocol, benevolent whale, since it has so much supply. Mm-hmm. Like everybody else accrues PLS, this contract also accrues PLS, right? And then with that accrued PLS, once it reaches a threshold of 100,000 PLS. Anybody can, mm-hmm. the button appears on the website asking you for you to accelerate the contract. And then it uses that PLS to buy more RFX or add it to liquidity if it's already, there's already a threshold of RFX in the market, in the contract. Mm-hmm. And then the user who accelerates the contract, he earns also 5% PLS rewards. So for basically, you know, just accelerate the protocol. So
whoever gets in first, they just click on it, they will earn a reward, and it will help everybody.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's how it works. Okay.
And then it's been accelerated many times already. And what it does, you know, every time it accelerates, it accrues PLS, it just buys more RFX and takes it off the market. Or adds it to liquidity, and liquidity is also off the market. So it's essentially a benevolent actor that never stops buying, never stops adding to liquidity. And the more it grows, the more it accrues, and it has a kind of a snowball effect, just sucking up.
And does it do that automatically? Like it automatically buys and sets liquidity, or what are the rules in there?
Figured by the user, right? Once it reaches that threshold that there's enough PLS to buy more or add to liquidity, then whoever clicks the button is triggering the contract, and then they're receiving a reward for that.
And it will ask them, do you want to just do the buy or add liquidity?
It will appear a button, see where it says filling up a gas tank, accelerator not available yet. Once it becomes available, once there's 100K PLS there, then a button appears. And then you can just click accelerate and confirm on your MetaMask and nothing else. And then the contract will just buy RFX up and add to liquidity.
Oh, it does everything automatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the user. Oh, that's awesome. It's the user who triggers it. We did it like that. It's just kind of like a PulseX buy and burn feature, right? When there's enough liquidity spread. All those like pairs that been capturing some fees, somebody goes there, buys and burns, and then it just converts those tokens to a PLSX and sends it to that address. So that's one. And then there's another one, another feature in the development, which is our NFTs. And the NFT will have a mint for them, and obviously they'll be sold for a particular amount of PLS, and whatever amount of PLS we raise from these 5,555, alluding to HEX, you know, NFTs, it goes into like straight up market buying RFX, and that RFX will be it'll be essentially locked up and burned forever. So a portion of that RFX will go to further fund, a small portion, obviously, further fund the accelerator, another portion goes to our CMM contract, which actually I have not talked about, but it's also mm-hmm. a contract that it just plays a minor role, but it's some of that PLS that gets accrued on the accelerator. It also gets sent to the CMM, and the CMM, what it does is mm-hmm. just place trades on the market to improve our yeah. transaction count, improve our reflections. Okay. So it's a continuous market maker, just place buys and sells.
So it's like so many pieces of a puzzle that are starting to work together.
Exactly.
Like that's the idea.
Yeah, and then the majority of that RFX will go to NFT staking contract, right? And it will be kind of a second okay. accelerator. So it'll also be locked there and accruing PLS. And that PLS, whenever somebody accelerates that second contract, they will receive, the NFT holders, they'll receive a portion proportional to their NFTs of PLS. So it's a way to just add a ton of buy pressure into the market, raising a price and locking up a ton of RFX out of the market too. And yep, and NFT holders will receive PLS, free PLS. Yep. So that's still in development, but there's already on our website a teaser of how these NFTs are looking like. And we also released on Twitter.
Where can we see that? Here on NFTs?
Yep. Yeah. And then there's a small teaser of what they're looking like. And also on Twitter, we released a video which is more in depth with like more parts that we actually already developed, you know, with all the 5,555 NFTs and, you know, displayed on a grid and like how users can see their owned NFTs. So it's coming soon. And there's just a ton of like exciting development down the road. So.
And so there's going to be 5,555 NFTs.
Correct.
Keep going.
Yes, basically. Yeah. They will earn, which is what everybody wants, right? Pulse. So you mint, obviously yeah. you're doing a lot of help to the protocol by minting that NFT. Because one small portion will get sent to the accelerator. But you know, majority of it, it's like having RFX always accruing in your wallet, except it's locked, you know, but it will always mm-hmm. be receiving PLS. Okay. But you'll be
helping yeah, the protocol. And so yeah. When you say it's locked, does it mean that you can't sell it or what does it mean by the NFT yeah. being locked?
Yeah, you won't be able to, like, the NFT itself, you can sell it, obviously, and the NFTs uh-huh. will have, like, secondary market value by themselves, uh-huh. but the RFX will stay in a second accelerator contract accruing that PLS so that it can distribute that PLS to the users.
Okay, so if, say, for
similar,
example, one NFT...
Similar to what Hedron did, right, with their NFT. That last man standing.
Now I would say it's more like if you have an NFT and say that NFT is worth 1,000 refluxes, it will always be worth 1,000 refluxes, and it will pay what 1,000 refluxes give you. Is that what you mean by law?
Yeah, we'll pay a little bit less because a portion mm-hmm. is going to be designated to our accelerator, but. Uh-huh. It will also be in a second accelerator, which will be also acquiring more reflux over time. So okay. that PLS will okay. also, the PLS payout, assuming there's demand for the token and volume, it will tend to increase over time as well, right? Because that it's going to be a huge, huge chunk. Because if we manage to sell like 5,000 NFTs, it's going to be a huge, whale, like hitting the market, just gobbling up all the RFX in the market. And it should have,
all the RFX. Yeah.
But again, no forward looking statement, not financial advice, you know. I always have to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can't promise any sort of earnings of any kind.
No promises. Crypto.
But what we can say is that there is a lot of potential, considering the dynamic of it. It's a good moment to get in before this all launches, because just by launching it, it can potentially make something a good splash.
Yes, call it
that.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really like what I'm seeing here. Like I said before, and this is something that, like I said, the community is very hesitant to jump in into some random project because we know how crypto is like. It's the Wild West. You never know who's gonna be like trying to scam you, anything like that. But the fact that you show your face, that from the very beginning, all your products are here and you keep building, that means that you're not going away, right? Yep. And so that to me is like the main thing. People may or may not like the project, that's up to them, but the fact that you're here, that you're showing it, that we can see everything, there is transparency on everything that you guys are doing, I think, at least for me, that inspires a sense of trust. And therefore, there is really, it's just a matter of if people like it or not. Like, if they want to support this type of project, or if they want to support something else. Like, you know, there's a lot of projects going on Pulse Chain. A lot of them are more, at least what I have seen that get the most support is the ones that are more about, like, exchanges, like Fox, you know, like, Fox, what's the other one that just came up? A red one, I don't remember. But like all those that are like exchanges, DEXs, those kind of things, or tools to check, like GoPulse, like all those, which are platforms that are like tools to help people. Like that's what I have seen that most people tend to support, because it kind of like gives more value to the ecosystem that Richard Hart has built. And they tend to distrust more when it comes to tokens and things like that, because you never know what's going on in there. Yeah. But the fact that you're here and that you're showing all of this, and we didn't get to talk about DAIX, which is pretty much Reflux just pacing DAI. that would be the sum of it.
Minor changes. We also did like minor improvements with DAIX, with like things that we learned on Reflux, even though we love Reflux. It's working great, but like we actually increased a little bit like the reflection, so we actually earn a little bit more on DAIX. So it pays 2.5% on the cell. So there's minor. Yeah, essentially the same. Yeah, but pays you in DAI, so everybody can get paid in stablecoin, and you know it's like you're parking your money there and you're receiving.
Yes,
is it stable? You know. And then, but yeah, I agree 100% with you. That's a barrier is to earning people's trust. And that's why I'm so thankful for like influencers like yourself, like Corey, you know, like, Brandon from Rags to Riches, and like, you know, Vibra Finance, like everybody that like extended, like, gives people like take that, risk, you know, to, cause otherwise you're just like muscle. Saying what everybody else is saying, you know, like just okay, we're talking about X, but when truly there can be more like good projects, and Pulse Chain needs that, right? Pulse Chain needs more projects.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. And but ultimately, we could build like the best code in the world, but it's the community that drives the project forward, and the community is everybody.
They see the value in it.
Yeah, it's the person who likes and retweets, which makes that post get more visibility, and somebody sees it. You know, it's you, Andrik, which is like hosting us a space, giving us opportunity to reach like people from Mexico and like other Spanish communities. And yeah, that's the best part.
Now about this question, can you talk a little bit more about the governance?
Yep, the governance.
I don't know if they have any specific question about it. Like, if you have any specifics, just put it in here so that he doesn't start talking about something that maybe is not answering the question. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, I posted earlier today on the Reflux Telegram chat, actually a screenshot of what like, the governance is kind of looking like. But contracts are deployed on chain. If you're a guy who's cold savvy, you can check what the governance contract is doing. But it's basically certain functions in certain contracts, such as our farms, They can be slightly tweaked by the governance contract. It's the only contract that can change these functions, and they're usually changed by a proposal and a vote that passes on chain. And that vote is basically how much Elixir, the governance token, you hold in your wallet. And then depending how much you hold, you have a say on your yay or nay, whether that vote will pass or not. Obviously, you hold more, you have more influence. And then the only way to earn Elixir is either buying on the market or yield farming on Postlorian. And then you can have somebody can propose like, okay, I want the Elixir farm to increase their rewards. And then they can pass a proposal. People will vote on chain with their MetaMask. Basically, their balance that Elixir they hold will represent their vote. And then at a particular block height, right? You know, and the blockchain is everything. It's based on blocks. At a particular block height, that vote will either pass or not pass. And then if it passes, a function will be executed on the other contract, which will, like, let's say now Elixir PLS, it's no longer receiving 10x allocation of rewards. It's receiving 12x, you know, or it's receiving 15x. Or let's say...
Which is what we see here.
Yeah, or it let's say
exactly what we see here.
Or let's say the mint rate is 0.1 per second. People might say, hey, we want to increase the mint rate to 0.2 per second, kind of like the Fed does, or decrease that mint rate or stop that mint rate. So yeah, and then and same of like adding or removing a farm, and then the case of DAI-X contract that you can change that swap factor. So that's basically it.
Yeah. And what token will use to participate? That would be Elixir, right?
Yep, correct. It's the Elixir is the governance token. It's the one that you earn on the yield farming. And so if you want to have a say on which farms are being added, you know, how the allocation is doing, you want to hold that token, right? And by holding that token, you're also helping to sustain the price of Elixir, you know?
Yeah,
which is great. It's a win-win, right? Sustain the price of Elixir means like more people like get attracted to that farm, and then because now it's paying more yield because people are not selling, and then like they can start making those tweets.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it up. And I don't know if my brother here has any other further questions, or anyone here in the chat, they can leave their questions here so that, I mean, let's take advantage of having him here so that he can answer those questions. Let's just give it a few minutes for questions.
I think you pretty much cover everything. It sounds a very easy way to earn without... Well, not without risking, but with very low risk because of the things that we talk about. And I don't see being like rocket science or whatever else to use the system. So I guess we gotta make more videos available in Spanish to go step by step how to even... For example, connect to a different wallet besides MetaMask, because I don't use MetaMask, but automatically runs on Ravi. But for example, for people that use internet money, the way to connect it's a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. So currently, our website, you only connect it through MetaMask, right? It's the one I think people use the most. But yeah, we do have intentions to add other wallets to the website in the future. That's on the pipeline. It's just we're focused on like delivering these NFTs, you know, like
government. The actual products first.
But
and really then polishing it.
Enhancing, you know, and as we said, the contracts are decentralized. So if there's like a guy who's like really good at front end and he can set up things really fast, he can make like a better website, a better front end, and then to anybody can. And that's what we want to encourage as well. Like, so we have specific disclaimer on the website about decentralization. We always say that Florian project, there's actually no team behind it whatsoever. There's no real effort. It's actually just people who believe in this cypherpunk movement, who believe in these decentralized contracts. They're just putting out their efforts in the best way they can. You know, some are speakers, some are developers, some are investors. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that was one question that I forgot to write down, but I had it in my head. Who is Postlorian? Is it only you? Is it a team of people? Is it only you and one developer? Or, I mean, putting aside the people in the community, like the ones that are developing, how many people are there? Where they come from? Like, what's the idea?
Yeah, so there are many developers. There's like there were three developers at a time. Right now, mm-hmm. it's currently Ramord. Obviously, we trust him the most with like the contracts because
yep.
Obviously a seasoned developer with 30 years of experience. I said, you know, leading global tech teams, and I'm the one developing the front end. And then we also had like some community managers, you know, people that are helping out on the marketing at the start. Like the start, like with we started with like about six, seven people, and a lot of them just trying to help out, you know, in whichever way they could, with like you know, setting up like Twitter space, you know. But it truly is a community project. So there's, as I said, there's no team really. It's just project developers and. That are liking the protocol, and then they develop stuff. You know, they enable a front end here. Might see a dashboard.
Pump. Okay.
Who knows who developed it? You know? Maybe it's us. Maybe it's that,
and the mastermind behind it, like the one with the ideas of, hey, let's create this. Was that you directly? And then you found all these people to help you out?
It's the community. It's a community. It's people posting ideas on the chat, people like giving like business type suggestions. Oh, I think you should market it this way. But I always extend 100% of the credits to Ramord. As I said, like guy's brilliant developer. He doesn't like to like, you know, he has more like developer, like personality. He doesn't like to be much on like the spaces and stuff. Like he's on the spaces. He
just can't
be online. Like, as much, but I mean, he's publicly available. He's shown his face as well.
Yeah.
But he just prefers to focus on the development. And he is the one. For example, he was the one who developed like this, like for me, like in really innovative, game changing aspect of Reflux.
So he came up with a game theory of it.
Definitely.
Okay.
If you want like any like technical, really like technical like aspects of the content itself, like just reach out to Ramord on like on Telegram, and he will like you know, go detail by detail. He's always present there.
I've seen him answer a few of my questions here there in the group. So which, by the way, I just need to let people know which group that is.
Yeah, and
I have we, linking here.
We like to, you know, strive for transparency. So whether you're a new investor, whether you have questions, whatever type of questions, you can just, you know, reach out on Telegram. And if you need, even if you need to set up a call, like, you know, like a face-to-face, we're here because we want to onboard more people, and we want to, you know, bring people into what we believe it's like a safe, superior product, but also to post you. So we're here for the community, like whatever we can do to help out the protocol, because it's going to be like a community effort in the long run, right? More people help out, the more we grow, and it's still so early in my opinion, because
that is something that I was, because you see all the graphs, right, that they show, like, oh, these are the coins that have been developed, and these are the influencers, and these are all these different things. And I think it's a beautiful phenomenon that's happening, at least in Pulse Chain, the way it is, because you see so many people, they're just passionate about it. And for example, I understand technology, but I will never be at the level of a developer. Like, just that's not my thing. But my thing is, because I understand it, I can explain it, right? And so that is my thing, and that's why people like my channel, because I can explain things that can be very complex, just bring them down in a very simple to digest way. And just like I do it, like there are so many other people that they may not be good at developing, but they're good at communicating. Other people are good at just being developers, but like you said, this guy, he doesn't like being in front of a camera. So, but his thing is creating, right? So when we see all that, like it's a, I don't know, like it's a really good phenomena that I see here. And one thing that I think is what many Richard Harden Maxis are missing out on is that, yes, we have an amazing community. Pulse Chain is one community. But within the community, there are micro communities, and many of them are just like shoved away because people are Richard Harden Maxis. And yeah. I think that's, we need to find that middle ground, right? Like it's not opening the door to every single one of them, but being open to just seeing what's there. Yeah. Right. Seeing what's there. That's it.
Yeah. You truly should keep, as you said, like unbiased like view, you know, because just like Hex came along and proved to be like a superior product, you know, there's other stuff that can't come along and be like great products in so many other ways, like changes, loan protocols, you know, I mean, like Hex is great store of value, but like there's people using liquid loans, you know, like there's people,
right.
So there's other like aspects to like to the blockchain. There's so many like applications really, and like you said, because it's truly like Pulse Chain is one thing where you see people come together, and like I really like the Pulse Loan community as well because of that. You see people playing their parts in what they're best at and most passionate about.
Exactly.
Some guy likes a front. Like he'll be like, I want to do front. And some guys want to dive deep into the contract. He dives deep. Somebody likes marketing and talking all day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so many companies wished they had this sort of performance with their own employees. But that's the difference between having a passionate community and a group of employees. Like you can see how a passionate community will always outperform any company or any. Yeah, any developing team from a company. All right. Well, I think this was a great conversation here. Let me see. Pulse Farmer. He says, I like to talk a lot. That's my role. I've seen him. He seems to be like your PR guy.
Yeah. The marketing team
for
Reflux.
I'm really happy with this. I think like I said on my videos, I think Reflux is I'm not telling them to put all their money in it, but just give it a go, just give it a chance and see what happens. Like just the same way that we all started with Hex, you start with just a little, you create your first stake, you saw that it worked. Then you go more into it, and then you become passionate about it, and we're still streaming about it 3 years later. Yes. So, with Reflux, just give it a shot.
Yeah, and any hurdles, any questions, we're on the Telegram to help, even if you need like face to face. So you can reach you out there or on Twitter, right? Yep.
And it's good to know that you're from Brazil, so. How big is the Portuguese community in Reflux? Are there many people?
I've seen definitely a few. Obviously, it's like crypto. I feel like it's so global. You see people from so many places, you know, so many different time zones. But there's like it was like a lady, like most recently, she did like a painting, like, you know, Arawak arts. She's Brazilian. Yeah, so she did like she helped out and she did like those paintings for us. So that was awesome. She just records like TikTok videos of like crypto projects and she hand paints everything, and then she creates.
Yeah,
I recommend. It's posted on our Twitter is Aru Hearts. I can post it on the Telegram later, but she's great. Yeah. So that's one, and obviously I have Brazilian friends like that. I said, hey, like
yeah.
I'm on this.
Yeah, please promote this.
You know, so most definitely, like, there's humans in the group.
Okay, well, this was awesome. I don't know if anyone here has any other questions. Renee, anything else?
No, my only comment is that I can find in the farms the internet money token and I can't connect to the wallet. That's the only
this one here.
Yeah, exactly. We'll work on that. We'll see about like adding the connection to the money wallet. That's good feedback. We have to do that for sure.
Yep. Okay. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you so much for being here. And if there's any further questions, according to the feedback that I get, we may do this again at some point.
I would love to. It would be my pleasure. And thank you so much for helping out our community, Reflux and Pulsalorian. And yeah, have a great night, guys. And it was awesome. All right.
Yeah, same to you. See you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Hit the like button.
All right.
Yeah,
hit the like button, share it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Okay, see you.
Now I just need to find the outro on this one. Oh, yeah.